Now here's the thing, chap. Back when I started my channel in 2019, people used to compare me to this American chap that I'd never heard of called Ben Shapiro. And I got the impression they did that because I talk quite quickly and so does Ben Shapiro. And so I thought I'd do something that Ben Shapiro has done, which is tell you about my 10 favourite films, or if you want American movies, and why you should watch them. So I want to go through them. The first of them, obviously, my favourite film ever is Life of Brian. Life of Brian, Monty Python, is a satire of Christianity. Absolutely brilliant one. The level of depth is quite incredible. I don't know how many times I've watched it, possibly 10 times. And I think it was D.H. Lawrence that said that if you read a book, then it's a good book, it should get better every time you read it, because there should be little things you notice, little elements of depth that you haven't seen before. And this is completely true with Life of Brian. It is a satire of 1970s life. It is a satire of social class differences in the UK. It's obviously a satire of religiosity and of sort of of left-wing politics more broadly. The whole idea of Loretta wanting to be a woman has become a case of life imitating art. There's all kinds of other fascinating little nuggets that you just about notice. The making fun of people with speech impediments. The satire of sort of politics based around trade unionism and Welsh people and splits within the Judean People's Front and the People's Front of Judea. Even just little things that you notice painted on the walls. There's so many levels of depth to it. I think it's a stunningly good and original film, and you should definitely watch it. The next one then is another Monty Python film, The Holy Grail. This was made earlier. This was made in 1975. Again, a fascinating satire of life and social class differences and things like that in 1970s England. You've got a bit where a king, just a little throwaway remark at the beginning as he takes someone into his castle, says, "Oh, we're going to have all this knocked through and made into one big room." And that's exactly what people were doing in the 1970s in sort of terraced houses. They were knocking through their dining room and their sitting room. There's so many levels to it. For the French knight that taunts them, saying, I will flick my boggies at you. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
There's just so many levels to it. Again, I cannot emphasize enough how the knights that say knee, whatever, there's just so many levels to it. It's something new every time you watch it. It's perhaps not quite as good as Life of Brian because there isn't as much of a sort of a coherent plot. In the end, it turns out they're basically just modern day cosplayers that are dressing up, that are pretending to be knights just for a laugh, or all this sort of thing. It really is worth watching. So that's that one. The next one, actually, I want to talk about is a film I saw very recently. It's called Companion. And this is a new film, and it looks in a very intelligent way at AI and robotics and what it might mean. And we see the film from the perspective of a robot, basically a sex robot, a very realistic sex robot, who realizes that it, through various problems with her functioning and whatever, who realizes that is what she is, and how then she acts and what she does and so on. And in many ways, it's better than a film that, in some ways, it's kind of almost like the sequel to, even though it's not written by the same person. There's a film by Alex Garland called Ex Machina, which is very serious. Now, this companion has lots and lots of comic elements, which in a way makes it easier to enter into the world of the fantastical, or to enter into the world of science fiction, and it really does think about in considerable depth the possibilities of what it might mean if you had AI sex robots. And what that would mean, and how they would think, and how they would feel, and would they feel, and would they think, and how they would eventually think, and how you could abuse them, and how you could take advantage of them. And it raises some very important questions. So that's Companion. I was very impressed by that. Another sci-fi film that I very much like was from about 25 years ago, and it's called Vanilla Sky. It's with Tom Cruise, and I've actually looked at this in one of my books, Woke Eugenics, the idea that we could get to a point where we could basically have artificial intelligence and so on of a sufficient level that we could just plug ourselves into an alternate reality that was so realistic it was sating, and just live in that alternative reality. And it raises the questions of what that would mean, how you would get to that point, what kind of people would do it, and what kind of things could go wrong if you're living in a perpetual alternative reality. So as a rule, I don't like made up stuff. I mean, people ask me to talk about films. As a rule, I don't really want to. I don't particularly. I'll watch films as something to watch when I'm having wine with the wife or something because she quite likes them. And it's a compromise normally that she'll want to watch something made up and I'll want to watch something that I might learn from. And you can learn from sci-fi. So I think that's also worth watching. Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise and Penelope Cruz. I liked it so much that I watched the original Spanish version, which also has Penelope Cruz in and which in some ways is better. Next one I like is Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Not Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, like you might expect me to say. No. I think that the sequel is better. The sequel is funnier. The sequel, the idea that you've got these two young, lazy chaps at school, and they use a time machine in the first one in order to successfully do their history project. And what then they do this by going back in time and picking up various people from history, including two medieval babes who are their girlfriends. That's the first one. Sorry to give away the plot. In the second one, it's more theological. They get killed and they descend into hell and they meet death. And they have to engage in various times. It's much more satirical. There are many more layers to it. There's lots of more references to it. It's a very, very, it's funny. It's lighthearted. You can watch it with your kids. But there's lots of layers to it, lots of references to it. It kind of has that sort of Naked Gun humor. I was going to recommend the Naked Gun films, of course. We can't make things this funny anymore as Naked Gun, as things we make in the late 80s, early 90s. We can't make things this funny. The world of wokeness has come along and sucked all the humor out of everything. But back then, you could make a film that was essentially aimed at younger than teenagers, but also worked for adults, and it was hilarious. So going down into hell and wandering and the undead and seances and people marrying women that are much younger than them and the sons fancying them, and just there's all kinds of levels to it. It's brilliant. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. The next one that I like is Kiira to Hedelmaa. This is a Finnish film. And a lot of people ask me, because I live in Finland, what it's like in Finland, what the culture is like, how it's different. This film is set in Liminka, which is a town about 30 kilometres from Oulu, where I live in northern Finland, and in Helsinki, which is in the south of the country. Obviously, it's the capital. And Liminka is a very conservative and religious area. And the group that dominate that area are called the Lestadians. They are a fundamentalist sect within the Lutheran Church. The women don't wear makeup. They don't dye their hair. They don't wear earrings. They are not supposed to watch the television. And they don't use contraception. So they obviously have these massive families. And the biggest one on record was in Liminka. It was a woman about 20 years ago, and she had 23 kids. So these fundamentalist Christian, extremely strict and insular sect. And in the film, you have two of them. One is the one that's a bit rebellious and is kind of doubting her, the Stalinism, is a bit of a slut, basically. And the other one is the much more conservative one, who's kind of almost sent to keep an eye on her. And they go to Helsinki to work for the summer, and they live in a sort of a flat together, essentially, and to work as cleaners for the summer. And it's about their kind of awakenings. They're awakenings into adulthood. They're getting to know the non-Lestadian, non-fundamentalist world, their self-understanding, all this kind of thing. And it has some amazing twists to it. So it's very well done and it's very worth watching and gives you a fascinating insight, if you want it, into Finnish culture and in particular into the culture of northern Finland. The next one, I think, yeah, let's keep them there. Yeah, Naked Gun. All the Naked Gun films are brilliant. Again, it's this sort of level of benevolent sexist humour that you can't really do these days. Incredibly funny satirical things, like avant-garde stuff, like somebody falling out of a window many floors, landing on the awning of a door, awning in a hotel, bouncing off and then just being eaten by a lion that's randomly there. A couple putting on condoms that are human size and trying to have sex. I mean, just all kinds of satirical, avant-garde, surreal stuff. It's groundbreaking stuff. It's groundbreaking stuff, the Naked Gun films. And if you haven't seen them, for God's sake, go and watch them. I don't know which one's the best, but just go and watch all of them. Then there's a new film I just saw, actually, called Poor Things. And this is based on a novel by... it's basically an updated version of Frankenstein set in late 19th century Glasgow, in which a mad professor, who is a surgeon, I think, at Glasgow University, seems to have adopted a extremely beautiful but severely mentally retarded girl. And he gets one of his students to start monitoring her behaviour and monitoring, you know, how quickly she's intellectually developing and how quickly she's physically developing. And he's very secretive about what's going on. And then gradually you start to see behind the scenes, you start to work out what he's done. I don't want to ruin it for you. The twists are there, but it's hilarious. It's unbelievably avant-garde and surreal and just mind-screwingly surreal. It's full of unexpected twists. It's a bit boring at first. I almost switched it off. But it's it soon speeds up, and the guy that's monitoring her sort of falls in love with her, and then somebody else who's a lawyer comes along, and you see her, this kind of autistic girl, and she develops and she gets into sort of prostitution and she likes it and all kinds of weird stuff. It really is a mindfuck. It's an extraordinary film. I'm amazed that something this good can be made these days. I guess it's a kind of outlier. So that's worth watching as well. I also, in general, I don't like watching films. If I have to watch a film, I prefer it to be something where I learn something. Something where I learn about history as a whole. And I want the verisimilitude to be high. I want to really feel that I've learned something about the. So a good one is The King's Speech. This is quite old now. It was with Helena Bonham Carter and Colin Firth, who plays King George VI, and it's as he was the Prince of the Duke of York, and it's about that whole period, the abdication, King Edward, all this sort of stuff, that whole period, and also just about him having a stammer and his relationship. It's a true story with somebody called a doctor. Called Dr. Logue, or not a doctor, a speech therapist, called Logue, and how they get to know each other and how they become friends and how he helps cure of his problems and how he opens up to him about his life and what rural life is like and the details of it and all that sort of, and just a general thing about overcoming problems that you have and how to do it. So it's very good, it's very well acted. So I would have a look at The King's Speech. Right, that's 9. Now, as you know, I have quite bad handwriting because I can't read what I've written here. Yes. Football Factory. That's my final one. Football Factory. This is about 20 years old now, and it is basically about a bunch of blokes that are ordinary working class guys from Essex, and they like getting together at weekends. They support Millwall, I think it is, and they like getting together at weekends and just having fights. And it looks in a very interesting way at sort of British underclass life, the culture by which they live, the code via which they live. It's quite funny. There's lots of humorous scenes or whatever. It's a kind of a dark comedy. And you just get to know this cast of characters, these cast of underclass characters that are mixed up in drug dealing and stuff like this. It's witty, it's funny, it's clear, it's crisp, it's enjoyable. It's worth watching. So Football Factory. So those are my films, chaps. So those are my recommendations. So go away and watch them and let me know in the comments what you think of them. And tally-ho and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?